For those who are in the audience, in ether, out there in the world, my name is Rajendra Nandana Das. I'm a very insignificant disciple of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And before I begin, this may sound like a stupid question, but how many of you would like to hear a nice Srimad Bhagavatam class? It's unanimous. No one came here to waste their time. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? How many of you feel that you are qualified to pray to your spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada? You can say a prayer to Srila Prabhupada or your spiritual master? Sorry. Surely you feel, sometimes devotees think, oh, I'm not qualified to do this or that, but can't we all pray to our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada? I'm going to ask a question and you'll understand the vein in which I'm going in this. Mahatma Prabhu gave a very wonderful class about the qualities of a Vaishnava a couple, 3 days ago. And he said, he recommended following, he was repeating Srila Prabhupada's words. Srila Prabhupada said that we should look at these qualities regularly and see how am I measuring up in manifesting or at least being conscious of aspiring for these qualities to manifest in my life. If you don't mind putting your humility aside for just one moment, did anybody in the assembled Vaishnavas do this since he's given class? Doesn't it disappoint you? Not one hand. And I don't know if it's because you're so humble you don't want to be the only one lifting your hand. Sometimes we say things on this seat and we try to say it in humble service to our spiritual master and actually in service to you. But when recommendations are made from the Vyasa-san, it actually is in our best interest to at least seriously consider them and see if they would please Guru and Krishna. I'll share with you just one little thing. Before I come to class every morning, when we're saying our Jayam prayers, and right when I'm after all done and I'm paying prostrate obeisances, I pray for whoever is sitting on this seat to be empowered by Srila Prabhupada to speak in such a way that he can inspire the assembled Vaishnavas and even stir some semblance of devotion in my stone-like heart. Do I have to ask you to please repeat after me? Hopefully not. Would you take 30 seconds to ask your spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, to be kind upon me so that I might not waste your time and that I could do some service to you, my spiritual master, in the Bhagavatam? I'll chant one round, one mantra while you're hopefully fulfilling my request. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Last but not least, I do have some neighbors and friends that are watching, and I want to send a warm and affectionate greetings from the Holy Land of Lord Chaitanya to you all. Hare Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Say my invocational prayers after the Sanskrit and purport, but for some unknown reason to me, I've been given 3 verses, and it is likely that I'll speak before we're finished with them all. So if you will bear with me. Om Agyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pashtratya Desatarane Vanchakopaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 21. The first verse is 44. I'll chant that, read the purport. Gunayanam Shila Danam Kritagyam Vidhashrayam Samvinate Nusampada Prasidatam Brahma Kulam Gavamcha Janardana Sanu Charashtamayam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This is a really nice verse in purport. Whoever acquires the brahminical qualifications, whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful, and who takes shelter of experienced persons, gets all the opulence of the world. I therefore wish that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His associates be pleased with the Brahmana class, with the cows, and with me. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Sayasha. Thus it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead respects and protects the Brahmins and Brahminical culture as well as the cows. In other words, wherever there are Brahmanas and Brahminical culture, there are cows and cow protection. In a society or civilization in which there are no Brahmins or Brahminical culture, cows are treated as ordinary animals and slaughtered at the sacrifice of human civilization. The specific mention of the word Gavam by Prithu Maharaj is significant because the Lord is always associated with cows and His devotees. In pictures, Lord Krishna is always seen with cows and His associates, such as the cowherd boys and gopis. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be alone. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj said, Sanacharasha, indicating that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always associated with His followers and devotees. This particular verse and purport very aptly could have been read on Gopastami at the Goshala. Srila Prabhupada is saying where Brahmins are not respected, cows are not protected. And when cows are treated as ordinary animals and slaughtered, people do that at the sacrifice of civilization. You cut your own throat every time a cow is slaughtered, or every time you put some slab of the flesh of that dead cow, murdered cow, on your dinner table and eat it. So people don't know these things. It is so, so very sad. Bhagavatam is telling us this information. So eat at your own risk. Prabhupada continues, a devotee acquires all the good qualities of the demigods. He is Gunayanam, the reservoir of all good qualities. His only asset is good behavior, and he is grateful. Gratitude for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of the qualities of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Everyone should feel grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because He is maintaining all living entities and supplying all their necessities. As stated in the Vedas, Katu Upanishad 2.2.13, Eko Bhunam Yo Vididati Kaman. The Supreme One is supplying all necessities to the living entities. The living entity who is therefore grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly qualified with good characteristics. Out of all the verses that we'll cover today, this is probably what I'll spend most time on, that particular paragraph, but we'll continue. The word vridashrayam is very significant in this verse. Vrida refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. There are two kinds of old men. he who is advanced in years, and he who is experienced in knowledge. One who is advanced in knowledge is actually Vridha. And in parentheses, Srila Prabhupada says, Jnana Vridha. One who does not become Vridha, one does not become Vridha simply by advancing in age. Vridhashrayam, a person who takes shelter of a superior person who is advanced in knowledge, can acquire all the good qualities of a Brahmin and be trained in good behavior. When one actually attains good qualities, becomes grateful for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he's endowed with all opulence. Such a person is a Brahmana or Vaishnava. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj invokes the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his associates, devotees, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, and cows. Text 45. Maitreya Vacha Ijuguvanam Nipatim Prithir David Vijataya Tushturvur Rishtamanasa Sadhuvadena Sadhava. The great sage Maitreya said, after hearing King Prithu speak so nicely, all the demigods, the denizens of Prithri Loka, the Brahmanas, and the saintly persons present at the meeting congratulated him by expressing their goodwill. Purport. When a person speaks very nicely at a meeting, he's congratulated by the audience. Now, in the Western culture, what do? We even do it sometimes here. What did they do with Maharaj Prithu to show that they really appreciated what he had just shared with them? They expressed their goodwill with the words, Sadhu, Sadhu. This is called Sadhuvada. All the saintly persons, Pitas, denizens of Prithu Loka, and demigods who were present at the meeting and heard Prithu Maharaj express their goodwill with the words, Sadhu, Sadhu. They all accepted the good mission of Prithu Maharaj, and they were fully satisfied. The verse written on the board, text 46. Putrena jayate lokan.
Putrena jayate lokan.
Iti satyavati shruti.
Iti satyavati shruti.
Ramadanda hata papo.
Ramadanda hata papo.
Yadveno tvaktaratamaha.
Yadveno
Putrena jayate lokan.
Putrena jayate lokan.
Iti satyavati shruti.
Iti satyavati shruti.
Ramadanda hata papo.
Ramadanda hata papo.
Yadveno tvaktaratamaha.
Yadveno tvaktaratamaha.
Putrena jayate lokan. Iti satya vati shruti.
Ramadanda
hata papo.
Yadveno
tvaktaratamaha. Putrena jayate lokan. Iti satya vati shruti.
Ramadanda
hata papo.
Yadveno
tvaktaratamaha. Matajis.
Putrena jayate lokan.
Iti satyavati shruti. Putrena,
by the sun,
S-O-N.
Jayate,
one becomes victorious.
Lokan,
all the heavenly planets.
Iti,
thus.
Satyavati,
becomes true.
Shruti,
the Vedas.
Brahmadanda,
by the curse of Brahmanas.
Ataha,
killed. papaha, the most sinful. Yet, as Vena, the father of Maharaj Prithu, Ati, great. Atarat, he came delivered. Tamaha, from the darkness of hellish life. Once again, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. They all declared that the Vedic conclusion, this meaning the audience speaking back to Maharaj Prithu, they all declared that the Vedic conclusion that one can conquer the heavenly planets by the action of a putra or son was fulfilled. For the most sinful Vena, who had been killed by the curse of the Brahmanas, was now delivered from the darkest region of hellish life by his son, Maharaj Prithu. Report. According to the Vedic version, there is a hellish planet called Put. And one who delivers a person from there is called Putra. The purpose of marriage, therefore, is to have a putra, or son, who is able to deliver his father. Even if the father falls down to the hellish condition of Put. Maharaj Prithu's father, Vena, was a most sinful person and was therefore cursed to death by the Brahmins. Now all the great saintly persons, sages, and Brahmins present in the meeting, after hearing from Maharaj Prithu about his great mission in life, became convinced that the statement of the Vedas had been fully proved. The purpose of accepting a wife in religious marriage, as sanctioned in the Vedas, is to have a putra, a son qualified to deliver his father from the darkest region of hellish life. Marriage is not intended for sense gratification, but for getting a son fully qualified to deliver his father. But if a son is raised to become an unqualified demon, how can he deliver his father from hellish life? It's therefore the duty of a father to become a Vaishnava and raise his children to become Vaishnavas. Then even if by chance the father falls into a hellish life in his next birth, such a son can deliver him as Maharaj Prithu delivered his father. So, a little bit on this verse first. Every funeral that I've gone to in the West, not Vaishnava funerals. Vaishnava, by the way, means a servant of the Supreme Lord, for those who don't know. But every funeral that I've ever gone, for those who are Christian or maybe agnostic, the preacher always said, well, they did good works, they took care of their family, and they've gone to heaven. Every time. I mean, the godfather of the most heinous, you know, crime syndicate passes away, and there are some priests that'll get up there and say the same words. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not so easy to enjoy the pleasure of heaven. You have to earn it. Pious deeds, non-exploitive nature and activities are what get you there. Exploitiveness and taking from others and the planet produces very bad reactions. King Vena was a king and very sinful, just like who was this Gaddafi. You know, I didn't hear till after about a week or so, but they got him finally, found him hiding, they killed him, you know, desecrated his body, and you know, it was the same kind of thing. King Vena, he was a murderer. He's meant to protect his citizens, but he was killing people for play, for pleasure, and he was stopping people who were piously inclined, what to speak of spiritually inclined, and were wanting to worship the Supreme Lord, the provider of all our necessities. He'd do so with a laugh and say, I'm God. What's the rubbish nonsense that you're worshiping some imaginary God? I'm right here. So when the Brahmins, the servants of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, saw that it had come to a point where it was unbearable for the citizens by the power invested in them by the Supreme Lord himself, they were able simply to say a prayer and finished. And he got to reap the results of his heinous activities. He went to hell. Now, the good side of the story is that you don't stay in hell forever. In fact, the way the Vedic culture and the scriptures, the Vedas, line out or lay out one's life in a regulated fashion, you can, even if you do go to hell, your son can, by his pious deeds of prayer and service to the Lord, can give those pious results to you. Ask that the Lord bless you, and the Lord, being pleased by that prayer and those acts of worship, can take that person out of hell and put them, and this verse says, even up to heaven. That's the Vedic way. Now, we're Vaishnavas. We heard Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami yesterday talk about the difference between Vedic and Vaishnav cultures. When Sarup Damodar Maharaj, Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj, was in Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada in the last months, his father passed away. And what does any follower of Vedic culture do? He goes and he offers the Shraddha ceremony, these acts of worship, so that any impiety on the part of the father can be forgiven and he can get the benefit of piety. He can be delivered if the need be. Lord Chaitanya set that example himself. Went to Gaya on behalf of his father when he passed away. It's the Vedic culture. But when Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada his permission to go perform the Vedic rites for his father, you know what Srila Prabhupada said? He said, no need. You stay here with me. You serve me. Why is that? Because if you water the root of the tree, then the branches, the leaves, the flowers, the fruit, they all benefit. If Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is worshipped and pleased, then he has the ability to fulfill the desire or wish of anyone who has pleased him. There is nothing impossible for Krishna. So don't think that, he neglected his duty, scriptural injunctions, and therefore his father would suffer, or he would suffer for not following the scriptural injunctions. There's a verse, and I don't know it, I know one of our scholars will know it, but when you worship Mukunda, you no longer have any obligation to the forefathers, to the demigods, to the sages, to the general living entities, because the debt is paid in full by Krishna himself. We all know this verse. Some in the audience, internet audience, don't know. Sarva dharmam prithvija mam ekam sharanam vraja aham kam sava paibhyo moksha shami masuchaha. Srila Prabhupada quoted that verse yesterday in class. He said, in 1 minute, all sins can be washed away. Krishna takes them upon himself, absolves them. Why 1 minute? In 1 second, in surrendering one's life to Krishna for his pleasure and service, it's all washed clean. So to have a devotee in the family, just like my wife's aunt just passed away 3 days ago, to have a devotee in the family, they don't realize how fortunate they are. It's just like if somebody gives you some medicine, you don't know what's in it, you're sick, but you trust the person giving you the medicine, you take the medicine, even though you don't know how it's working, the medicine can assist you to become healthy. So by the activities of the devotees of the Lord in pleasing Krishna, as simply as chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this one act of sacrifice, of pleasing the Lord, the relatives all get absolved. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked by Narsingadeva, please ask a benediction from me. You've offered such nice prayers. Krishna expects his devotees to ask something of him. When he's pleased, he wants to give his devotees benedictions. Prahlad Maharaj said, please, my dear Lord, I was born in a family of demons, material desires. I'm very much afraid of them. I don't want to ask anything temporary and material from you. Please just give me the opportunity to always engage in the service of your servant. That's going to touch on the first verse that we heard read today. But if you do insist, and the Lord did, then could you please liberate my father, absolve him of all sins? He actually knew he was already absolved. The Lord, in killing Hiranyakashipu, even a far greater demon than Venu Maharaj, by his mere glance, what to speak of the touch of the transcendental form of the Lord, he was completely purified. No sin could stay within him. But Prahlad Maharaj wanted to hear. He wanted to hear the Lord say it. And Nrisimhadeva did. He said, don't worry. He said, not only your father, but 21 generations of your family are liberated. I'm so pleased with your devotional service to me. And there's another quote, and I didn't have time to look it up, but there's degradation. Sometimes we think, oh, we're so neophyte, we're so unqualified. There's something like even the lowest, most beginning novitiate, the beginner in devotional service, by his mixed devotional service, he can deliver 10 generations of his family. A Madhyamadhikari can deliver so many other number of generations, and one who has completely surrendered his life, put everything else on the back burner, or what to speak of, completely seen the foolishness of wanting anything other than the service of Krishna for his pleasure, one who has come to that level of love for Krishna, he can deliver so many members. Now, we believe in reincarnation. You all know that. So we're not always born in the same family. You know, we have a surname. Some of us have found the coat of arms that, you know, was there in our the country, or the origin of the country of the family we're born in this life. You know, pride is there, you know, identification with the family. It's natural in this world because it all begins with the bodily identification, the mistake of thinking I am this body. But we have taken birth in so many families, repeatedly, again and again and again. And Nrisimhadeva assured Prahlad Maharaj that all those other different families that you took birth in, I will also liberate them. The Lord is so kind. There's one prayer in the seventh canto wherein it is said, whenever and wherever there are peaceful and equipoised devotees who are well behaved and decorated with all good qualities, that place, and in the purport Prabhupada clarifies, that entire country and the dynasties there, even if condemned, are purified. The potency of devotional service to Krishna, especially unmotivated devotional service, simply trying to please Krishna for that reason only, I just want to please you, is so powerful. People are looking in so many ways to help the suffering of mankind or other living entities of this planet. All that is necessary, in fact, the only remedy, is the service of Krishna. Please him and everything else falls in place. He controls this universe, this material world. It runs under his laws. And if he wants, with the snap of a finger, everything can be made auspicious for those connected to the devotee of the Lord. Enough said on that verse. The second verse that we heard here, sadhu, sadhu. Last time I gave a class about 3 weeks ago, I got the introductory verse to this set of verses of Prithu Maharaj sharing with the assembled Vaishnavas, Brahmins, demigods, etc. And before he began, he said, I'd like to present something to you, my thoughts. I'd like to share them with you, and I'm hoping that you will find them agreeable. I hope that you will bless me in what I am intending to do as I take up the rule of this kingdom. And here we hear in this, in the concluding verse of his speech, they certainly were satisfied with what he said. And they did bless him. In further verses we'll get to hear, may you live long so that you can rule and protect us. Under your protection, we will follow your good example and try our best to please the Supreme Lord. We will perform the duties that are tailored to us to the best of our ability and offer those results to the Supreme Lord for his pleasure. Please, live long, rule long. So they gave him the blessings he was desiring. One time, when I first, the first day I saw Srila Prabhupada come into Dallas, I may have told this past time, but it's the one time that face-to-face Srila Prabhupada gave me a note of encouragement or appreciation. I was a young devotee. I'd never met my spiritual master yet. And when I saw him, as with almost every other devotee who will tell their story, I was in ecstasy and crying like a baby. I couldn't stop. The happiness that I experienced in finally getting to see the spiritual master who I knew was delivering me, who had given me the knowledge contained within these books and the purports, who had given me the association of devotees, who had laid out the process of devotional service. He was finally here, and I was getting his association. So when they brought him from the airport and we came into his room, we got to each come in and get a rasgulla, a big old rasgulla, dripping with sugar water. And I had been told, say your basis is when you first come into his presence, very loudly so he can hear you. I was still crying, but to the best of my ability, I said his pranam mantra very loudly. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. And while I was saying it, I was falling down like a stick. As we all know, that means dandavat. You show your humility, you show your submission to one who is worthy of being guided by. You fall down at his feet, establishing the relationship. You are my teacher, you are my master, and I am your servant. And while I was falling, I realized that my bead bag was hanging on my neck and it would touch the floor when I hit the ground. So mid-fall, I took my bead bag and flung it behind my neck like that while chanting his pranams. And Srila Prabhupada sitting behind his desk just like this went, "Jam." Now how simple an act is that? And yet it pleased him. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. Krishna is very easily pleased. It doesn't take a lot to reawaken the natural, eternal relationship that we have with him. We just have to be trained how. That's why it's absolutely necessary to have a spiritual master. And if that's not relevant for some of you hearing this class, you have to at least associate with those who are endeavoring to their best ability to please the Supreme Lord, because by the activity of following the instructions of a spiritual master, the association of devotees is priceless. It is absolutely necessary. We can even go so far as to say it's not what you know, it's who you know in devotional service. And for some of you, maybe you can relate with this. I know some of you listening to this class have high regard for President Obama. Do you think you'll ever get to meet President Obama? Fat chance. Maybe in a public speaking engagement, if you're lucky enough. But those who are friends and connected with his friends, the door gets opened wide. And they'll get time with him. Oh, you're such my dear friend's friend? Please, come in. It's a pleasure to meet you. It's the same way with our relationship with Krishna. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Some denominations of religion think, well, that's good enough. I have my one-on-one. I don't need a pope. I don't need a man to mediate between me and God. He's in my heart. I have an eternal relationship with him. That's a fact. But if we're so qualified, can you see the Lord within your heart? Can you hear him? Many people convince themselves, yes, God told me to do this or that. It's very easy to be misled by that wicked mind that we have the company of. The contaminated identification of this body and mind and the false ego thinking we are these things, they've made us rot in this material world, life after life, species after species. If we can't even meet the president of a tiny little country on a tiny little planet, which is just like a speck of dust in this universe, which is one of countless material universes, which the Vedas say is only 1/4 of the kingdom of God, 3/4, the majority of it being the spiritual kingdoms or spiritual planets where he lives and accepts the service of his beloved servants. And on the highest planet of which we've been told about, in which Srila Prabhupada is extending the open invitation to everyone, Krishna Loka, Goloka, Vrindavan, there Krishna is competing with his surrendered devotees to serve them. Love is not hindered by the opulence of the knowledge of all that I just got through saying. countless material universe, one-fourth of the kingdom of God. That particular person, the supreme Lord, creator, maintainer of all that we are aware of, you think you have the qualification to meet him? Or you have the ability to please him on your own if you're so arrogant to think you don't need guidance or help? We've been taught that no, it's not possible. You can get some benefit, but it will be in the realm of piety. It takes far more than piety to get to the spiritual kingdom. It takes spiritual activity, devotional service, pure service to please the Lord, to become qualified to eternally be allowed to render service to him. So anyway, the association of devotees is priceless. We highly emphasize it. These verses were read by Prithu Maharaj, glorifying the qualities of the Brahman. Most of you got to hear all these verses, am I right? Did most of you hear the verses glorifying the Brahmins? How many did not hear these verses, just out of curiosity? Don't be shy, this is important to me. Okay, a few devotees. What I'm going to do, if it had been the majority, I would have read the 7-8 verses where Prithu Maharaj, an incarnation of Krishna, is glorifying the devotees, saying, "It is by my worship and service to those devotees that I hope to become qualified to be blessed by the Lord and to engage in his service." An incarnation of God, a divinely empowered being, Prithu Maharaj, is setting that example for us. It is so important that Srimad Bhagavatam says exactly the same things. For those who were in Mayapur, it wasn't all that long ago, back in the end of the third canto, we heard Lord Vishnu speaking to the four Kumaras in Vaikuntha. And if you'll indulge me, let me read these, I think it's five prayers, saying in essence the same thing, with a little bit different angle on a couple of points. The Lord continued, "Because I am the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin. And I have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me." This is the personality who controls all the opulences. In this first verse we read today, it said what one needs to do to get all the opulence of the world. But at least I'm explaining to those who don't know. The goddess of fortune is a maidservant of Krishna, of the Supreme Lord. And he says, "Because I am the servant of my devotees, I've acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me. Even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor." Now, can anybody of this world say money never leaves me? Anybody who works hard to accumulate money, most people have to. Sometimes you're born with a silver spoon, but according to our philosophy, you worked hard in your previous life to qualify to get unlimited riches. And usually, because of the ignorance that that's the case, they blow it. They spend the money selfishly on themselves, and as a result, acting in disregard of the supremacy of the Lord, they act exploitively, and then they lose all their good piety that they accumulated in the previous life. In the next life, they're born destitute, if they're lucky enough to be born in a human species. Can anyone say Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, never leaves him? Those who work hard are always in anxiety about the money they have. Are my relatives going to take it? Is the IRS, the tax, the government going to tax it and take it away from me? Are thieves going to find a way? When Ambarish Prabhu joined our movement in Detroit, he didn't tell them that he was a millionaire and that he was the son of a rich, famous family, the Ford family of America. He didn't tell him for a long time. He was just Bhakta Al. And when he realized in the Association of Devotees that these are the people who truly care for me, they care for me, not what I've done, not what I have. They actually appreciate me for me. When he felt safe like that, then he revealed, "Oh, you need a little money for this project in the temple? I have access to some money. Please let me help." Such anxiety for those who are rich. But Krishna is saying that God is fortunate, she never leaves me. What's his secret? He says it's because I always serve the devotees. He goes on to say, this is practically verbatim with one of our verses we just heard. I do not enjoy the oblations offered to the sacrificers in the sacrificial fire, which is one of my mouth, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmins who have dedicated the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my mercy. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, the spiritual energy, and the water of the Ganges is the remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, who will refuse to do the same? The Brahmins, the cows, and the defenseless creatures are my own body. Those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin look upon them as distinct from me. On the other hand, they captivate my heart, who are gladdened in heart, and who, with their lotus faces enlightened by nectarian smiles, respect the Brahmins. Even though the Brahmins utter harsh words, they look upon the Brahmins as my own self and pacify them by praising them in loving words, even as a son would appease an angry father, or as I am pacifying you. Gorkhasur Das Babaji one time, when this person took offense that he corrected him, he spoke strongly in that, you're so attached to such nonsense. Why don't you put aside that which is harming you, causing you suffering, and surrender to the Lord and simply engage in his service? This person took offense and immediately left. And Gorkhasur Das Babaji Maharaj said, it's amazing. A person will live with his family his whole life, and his family, intimate family, they can berate him, they can insult him, abuse him in so many ways, and yet he'll tolerate it. In fact, he'll continue to serve them. But a devotee, and to characterize the real qualities of an advanced devotee, all they want to achieve in life, the reason why the eternal devotees come to this world in the first place, is because they simply want to help you and I who are suffering outside of the service of Krishna. That is a burning desire within their heart that they cannot overlook, they cannot ignore it. They are compelled by their love for Krishna to share the devotional service of Krishna to others. And he said, a devotee speaks one strong chastisement and the person gets offended and leaves, never to return again. Just see how Maya, the illusory potency, bewilders us conditioned souls. So, three things in that first verse that were made mention that are very important. One was money, another one was qualities, behavior, and association of devotees. So we've already said that money is the honey. In this present age, that's all people want. If you can get money, you figure everything else is covered. People strive their whole lives. People risk their lives, even die trying to make money. But it's never made anybody happy. Because money is not yours. Money, it belongs to Krishna, as we just got the reading. Money is the maidservant of Krishna. One time the devotees in Dallas on a morning walk said, there's a millionaire whose house is right there on the side of the park. We tried to knock on the door and get in to preach to him. And Srila Prabhupada said, what would you say if you got the opportunity? And they said this or that, give him a Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, no, here's what you should say. You're a thief. A devotee can speak like that. Not because he's angry or envious of the person, because he loves the person. He knows that person is willingly drinking poison, identifying with his body and that money that he's acquired with his body and mind and his efforts as his own. A devotee may or may not acquire a lot of wealth. In this particular verse that Prithu Maharaj says, if you will worship the devotees, taking the dust upon your head, if you will develop the qualities that they have by following their instructions and service to them, then you will get the opulence of the world. If you can use the opulence of the world in the service of Krishna, he has no problem giving it to you. Srila Prabhupada told us, his disciples, that, you know, Krishna could give us the entire world, could give ISKCON the entire world in 18 days. He said, but what would you do with it? You're not qualified. So why would Krishna give us something that would be to our detriment, that we would misuse and cause our degradation, re-identification with, this is mine and I can enjoy it outside of the service of the Lord? Krishna doesn't do that. He'll fulfill all desires. He's like a desire tree. But he does it in such a perfect way that you realize, what an idiot. Why was I wanting something other than service to Krishna? The real nectar, the only satisfaction of the eternal person, you and I, is in eternally loving and reciprocating in service with Krishna. After many, 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 many lifetimes, by the mercy of the devotees, will come to realize that. And once you have fully surrendered, just like Srila Prabhupada, he would sometimes tell people he's preaching to, every day we're getting thousands of dollars coming in. Thousands of dollars. We have no jobs. We tell people, why you work so hard? Come live with us. It's an easy life. I've translated, I've written these books, and my disciples, they go out and they give it to people. And they, in return, give us money. Krishna provides the necessities of his devotees. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, if we only had this money to do this project or this or that. That's not what we're lacking. We're lacking surrender and devotional service. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said that in his only words. The only thing lacking in this material world is money, is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, money is simply in the ether. You just have to know how to get it. The secret is in serving the Lord, and the secret of serving the Lord is serving his servants. One who can do that, when you become qualified, like Srila Prabhupada, he didn't claim anything for his own. It was all Krishna's. He had so much money coming in. He was the head of this institution, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, and so much money, yet he would write in his books and personally tell his devotees, don't misspend 1 cent of this money. If you do misspend 1 farthing of this money for your own personal ends, rather than giving it all to Krishna, it can be the cause of your downfall. He set by example. He had so many, in his own word, palaces around the world. The manor in England, the chateau in France. So many nice places to stay. But he was just as satisfied and happy staying in the straw hut that was here in Mayapur. But for the service of the Lord, they will take anything and everything. They don't claim it as their own. It's simply the energy of the Lord, an asset given to them by the Lord, and they gladly use it in his service. So that's the secret to money. If you want to make it and you want to keep it, spend it in the service of the Lord. Guaranteed. Make a pact with Krishna. You work with family people, family men. You work, you have a job. Just give a little bit to Krishna. Tell Krishna, I will give this much to you. Whatever I have, I will give this much to you. And I guarantee, I've seen this in my own life, Krishna amply rewards you. See, for a devotee, he's not over-concerned with his maintenance or making money. After some time in the advancement of Krishna consciousness, you realize, I've never not eaten. I've never not had a place to stay. Everything, the necessities of life are given to everybody. What to speak of one trying to serve Krishna? One becomes concerned with how much am I pleasing Krishna? That becomes the overwhelming concern of a devotee. He knows, ask or don't ask, Krishna will provide for me. And when we don't ask, it seems like a paradigm to those who aren't devotees, but when you don't ask, that's when everything is given. And to the degree that you ask for something other than Krishna's service, to that degree there's the contraction. Uh-oh, you're becoming bewildered. It's just like a friend of mine who has a health issue. You know, he says, oh, I wish I had 3 or 4 servants to help me. And it would be nice if he had 3 or 4 servants to help him. But I shared with him, when I first met him after a long period, had nothing to do with his mentality at all. And I emphasize that repeatedly when I share what I thought about. Sometimes we have desires. I wish somebody would serve you. That's what got us to this material world in the first place. Why is Krishna being served? I want to be served. We may have a desire to be served. Many of us have gotten married with that type of mentality. Oh, it'd be nice to be served by the wife, by the children, etc. But we have to be careful what we wish for, because sometimes Krishna, he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I won't give poison to this fool. I'll give him nectar. But he's asking for poison, so I'll give it in such a way that he will realize it was stupid to ask for something other than my service. You want servants? He may put you in a health condition, a challenged health condition in your life where you require to be assisted in your daily simple activities. See, we take everything for granted, and that's one of the points of this class. The verse, first verse. A devotee is always grateful. He doesn't take anything for granted. Krishna is so kind. The other day, I was sharing with Janani Vasprabhu. For a couple of days when I would start to give out, my left leg would give out on me. It just went gimpy. And then I would catch myself from falling. And I realized right then and there, at any second, anything that we think is ours or that is me can be taken away by Krishna. At any second. It's all a gift from Krishna. And if we realize that nothing belongs to me and everything belongs to Krishna, this is the secret to becoming satisfied in life. I think there's a nice verse here. We all know it, Te Nukampam Sukshamikshamanam, but I'll read the translation. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, his words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. One who is a fully surrendered devotee of the Lord, he does not want anything else than service. That's all he wants. All the riches of the world, it's like dirt to a realized devotee, a lover of Krishna. The kingship or the control of the heavenly planets, as Indra has, or even of this whole universe as Brahma has, he thinks that life is as significant as that of an insect. Do any of us want to become an insect again? I don't think so. The heavenly pleasures, you know, where you enjoy what seems to be unlimitedly for tens of thousands of years. It's like a cloud in the sky. It's there for a little bit and then the wind blows it apart. What to speak of these pleasures of this body? This body, now that I'm getting older, whenever I hear somebody is ill or is suffering in their health or even passing away, it's becoming to the point where I'm surprised when somebody's healthy. Seriously, I know it sounds funny, but this body is just a mechanism in which to suffer. That sounds pretty pessimistic, but honestly, in a detached frame of mind, think about what I'm saying. How are you suffering right now? Is your knee bothering you? Is your back bothering you? Have you got pressure of bills coming up? Is there a neighbor or a relative who has said some unkind words to you and you're angry about it? I guarantee right now as I speak, everyone who can hear my voice is suffering one way or another, and it's only because of identifying with the body or the mind, not with who I am, Krishna's eternal servant. So this is what is trying to be given. To become a devotee means to develop the qualities. The soul has no bad qualities. We can't even not serve Krishna in our spiritual identity. Krishna has to give us a body and a mind made of matter. And even the ego in which to identify with those to be able to not serve Krishna. Now we are jivas, tatashta sakhi, we have independence, we can desire in the spiritual world not to serve him, but you aren't given facility there. You have to be given a body, you have to come down to this world and identify with that body again and again and again and again. So devotees don't identify with the body or anything in relationship to the body, and as they engage in devotional service, the qualities of the soul in devotional service manifest. We practice them while we're in the practicing stage of devotional service, because it's not just like overnight they all come. But as we try to become conscious of the qualities and practice them, Krishna very kindly reciprocates. And first and foremost, in doing that, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Raina Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, emphasizing the points being made in this class, that dust from the lotus feet of pure devotees is conducive to devotional service. In other words, for those who aren't familiar with the analogy, when we bow down to the feet of the devotee, taking their dust from their feet, we're showing our submission to, appreciation of their association. That's very helpful in being reunited in our service to Krishna. And then he says, just like all of us are constantly praying for the mercy of the devotees, I asked for your mercy before I began class. It's the right mentality. Always seek the mercy of the devotees. But in the second line, he says something even more important. He says, service to the devotees or the Vaishnavas is itself the supreme perfection and the root of the tender creeper of divine love. So, preaching to myself, if you have any sense of relating with what I say, we can start asking for a little less mercy and start asking for a little more service to the devotees. That's my suggestion, because the perfection will be found in that service. The empowerment will be found in the service of the devotees. Just as Krishna is never alone, Srila Prabhupada is never alone. Prabhupada knew there's one and all sitting in this room. Turn to your right, turn to your left, behind and in front of you, and you're surrounded by those associates who are wanting to please Srila Prabhupada and his servants. Begin trying to take any opportunity to render service to them, to please them. Yesha prasada, bhagavat prasada. If you get the pleasure, achieve the pleasure of a devotee getting his mercy, automatically any and all benedictions of Krishna come. Guaranteed. And if you don't, yasha prasada nagati katopi. A prasada, no mercy. Who knows where we will end up. But that line is not for the devotees I'm sitting in the midst of here today. So I'll end there. Thank you for tolerating me and sitting so patiently. Are there any questions or comments at this time? I would love any additions or corrections. As I suspected, I put you to sleep. Forgive me. I'm leaving in a couple of days, so I will ask forgiveness for all my offenses, not sarcastically or flippantly. Forgive me for all my offenses. I always look forward to your association and relished it very, very much. Collectively and individually, you've been an inspiration to me. And I'm very grateful for that. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaura Premanandi. Yes. You can leave if you want. I know some of you are very hungry. Chibanga Nanda Prabhu. Anyone who didn't hear Tribhanga Ananda, he said, what is the actual significance of the dust that we are bowing down to take from the feet of the Vaishnavas? You see that microphone? Can you hand it to the devotee to your left? No, your left, right there. Jananivas Prabhu. If I can defer that to him, I will be very, very obliged and grateful. Please, could you answer that question?
Actually described in this verse, some verses of the significance of the dust, the lotus feet of the devotees. Because the devotees are always associated with Krishna. So it says the saffron particles of dust from the lotus feet of Krishna. It's it's mixed with their words, the sound vibration. So when we hear from the sadhus, because we get the flavor, the scent of that dust from Krishna's feet, the saffron particles is carried in the sound vibration. And therefore the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna is available through the sadhu, through the sound vibration. So therefore we hear very attentively the sound vibration of the guru. Then dust particles can actually act on our heart. We should have implicit faith in the sound vibration. It does carry that dust of Krishna's feet. And yeah, the dust reveals it's coming from Krishna's feet, and it also reveals Krishna's feet through the words of the
May I just pursue that a little bit further? What about the sitting at this words of the song that you sing by Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda, Sudha Bhakata Charanadeva? What about the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee? What is the actual significance of that dust from his lotus feet?
On this subject matter, I will say no more. Gurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj would sometimes say that. I'm a fool. I can repeat scripture. The dust is very conducive to devotional service. The water that has washed the feet of the devotees is very conducive to reawakening love for Krishna and honoring or eating the remnants of food that the pure devotees, the devotees of the Lord, have partaken from. Those three very quickly help one become recognized by Krishna. The pastime of Kala Krishna Das in West Bengal, he made it his life's goal to get the dust from every devotee he could. Any and every devotee he met or knew of, he went and he got their dust, or took the remnants from their food, from their plates. By hook or by crook, he would feed them, and then they'd go through it. Oh, no, you're not going to eat my remnants. I'm not worthy of that. They would eat everything, try to lick the plate and throw the plate away, and he'd go out into the garbage bin after they left and find it. You know, non-devotees have no conception of this act of respect, of submission, showing Krishna how dear we take these servants of yours. But that person and that person alone got to drink the foot wash of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not once, not twice, but three times in Jagannath Puri when Lord Chaitanya was washing his feet before going into the Jagannath Mandir. And finally, after he had satisfied the desire of his devotee, acting a little bit embarrassed, "All right, Sri Damodar, take this devotee of yours. Take him away. He's gotten enough mercy. Please, take him away." He was the only one. So it's, you know, take it figuratively, take it allegorically, take it any way you want. Just follow the recommendation. Don't simply be satisfied with touching the feet. Everybody in Indian culture will go and touch the feet of a sadhu. But as Janani Vas Prabhu was saying, if you really want the blessings of the sadhu, hear from them. And don't just hear. The trees hear us chanting. They can't do anything about it. We have the ability to open our hearts, receive the instructions of the devotees, of the spiritual master, and to follow it. You don't have to be perfect to please the Lord. You just have to be willing to become perfect by the grace of His servant and the Lord. If you have that desire to achieve the point in which you want nothing other than to please Krishna and His associates, that's what the devotees and Krishna are looking for. And what is the essence of that? It's really about giving, giving, giving. To quote Srila Prabhupada, he heard Srila Prabhupada would say this personally on a morning walk. He said, the more you distribute, the more you're recognized. Distribute Krishna consciousness, devotional service, the mercy, the only panacea for all suffering of all living beings, and do it in any way, shape, or form they'll accept it, in any way in which you're able to. Do it to the best of your ability, and very quickly the devotee and Krishna recognize you. In one purport, it was stated that you want, you know, whatever you may want. Those who are associates of the Lord in Vrindavan, they have equal opulence as that of the Lord. They have all the mercy, the unlimited mercy of Krishna. And that's really what we're all hankering for, whether we know it or not. So forgive me for being so bold that I would try to add after Janamas to do spur. But I hope you'll take that. That's the essence. Touch the feet. Listen. Listen. Because sometimes the feet aren't there, but the words, the instructions are always there. We're never separate from the instructions of the devotees or our spiritual master or the previous acharyas if we simply associate with them, avail our heart to them and follow them. The mercy of the eternal devotees is never, never distant. It's always there if you want it. Sorry for rattling on. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.